A new Jim Marmalade project. Hey, dude.
Yo.
We got so much to get to today.
I'm
very excited for the show.
Really?
Yep.
We're almost done with the Results Girl competition.
I hope that's not true. I hope more come in.
Well, we'll find out. But as of right now, we're on our last contestant. So that would be a reminder to all of you ladies. You want to get in on this. You have till next Monday.
It's been a good competition so far, I have to say.
Heated battle.
I like them all so far. We'll see about today.
I'm voting for the field. Okay, let's get going, shall we?
Yep.
Attention parents, what you're about to see is not suitable for kids. Shoot, it's not even suitable for some grown-ups. You might want to walk away now if you ain't into these type of things.
I'm going to give the people what they want. Sensation, horror, shock.
I'm going to deliver the goods because I'm alive and I'm not backing down.
Cuckoo, cuckoo.
Guess where? You just got into Cool Guy Zone.
Disgusting, vomit-inducing thing.
Hola, creepos. Welcome to another episode of your favorite true crime podcast, the show about creeps, by creeps, for you creeps. I'm your host. My name is Vinny, and joining me today in the studio, you know him, you love him, it's hot, Carl.
What is happening, Vinny Paulino?
Let's see that dick.
Whoa. It's too early.
I didn't say that. I am not that forward, sir.
Much too early in the show for that, my friend. How
dare
you doing?
I'm great.
It's Tampa week, baby. We're kicking off Tampa week.
We're getting the fuck out of Rochester.
Yes, we are.
We just did Subreddit Surfing Live. We made everybody come here, and now we're getting the fuck out.
Yeah, well, it's good timing, too. I think it's going to be a lot nicer in Tampa than it is up here.
Yeah, I'm very upset that you booked it at this time. I'm very upset.
I'm still mad at you for trying to get Cedric John here in March.
Are you still mad at me?
No.
Good. So if I had that shot collar, you would have just gotten nailed, buddy.
You're right.
You would have just gotten
nailed. My bad. All right. Good call. I'm going to stop it. I'm going to stop it right now.
Thanks. I live in a SJ free world, everybody.
Yeah. Good luck with that. Hey, I have to tell you, today is a very special holiday.
I believe it is.
Super Chat Monday.
It certainly is, everybody.
So have a very happy Super Chat Monday, everyone.
People in the chat are already celebrating.
Look
Gartner
at this.
Fan.
Gartner fans already celebrating. Always the creepiest creeps. Thanks for the horror.
You're welcome.
That's what we're here for.
We're going to bring that today.
And my boy Simon 3435 bucks says, happy Super Chat Monday. See you in Largo, Carl. Awesome. We will see you there. I'm really looking forward
to it. What is that, a threat, Simon?
Oh, speaking of which.
Sorry.
In the Discord, there's a WATP meetup channel. That's where people go and talk about where we're going to be in Tampa, what everyone's going to be doing, where they're going to be hanging out.
Yep.
I know there's a meetup Friday morning, 8 a.m. at Conservative Grounds. But the other thing we have to talk about is Hulk Hogan's place.
Brother.
Thursday night, you want to go there?
More than anything
okay.
I could possibly think of.
Let's do that then. Thursday night, if you're in the Tampa area, come hang out with us. After I get done with the Who Are These Socials, we'll head down there.
I'll be there. I'll start there in the afternoon. They serve drinks, right?
Yeah, of course.
I'll hang out all day there just in case one of the Hulkster's family shows up.
Oh, I can't wait.
Or if Hulk comes there to personally remove me.
That'd be amazing.
I want to say hey to Gut. Thanks for the $5. Hola, creepos. Love you, Vinny. Carl, you're tolerable.
I appreciate that, Gut.
Everybody's celebrating today. I love it.
This is a very festive holiday. And you know what else we have to celebrate?
Tell me.
You talked about it in the cold open.
Sure did.
We have another contestant for the Results Girl contest. Now, the problem is there's no results today.
It's not a problem.
Oh, good.
I gave her an assignment.
Oh, good. Okay.
Today, she is not going to be our Results Girl. Today, she is going to be our Category Girl.
Ah.
And she is going to tell us what we're doing on today's episode and give us a little update as to what we're working with as far as the game.
Excellent.
mask. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce our next contestant, Redhead Meg, everybody. Redhead Meg.
Hey, hi. What's up, Meg?
Hello, Creeperinos.
Now, welcome to the program.
We had the pleasure of meeting you in Detroit twice, I believe. You came to both of our Detroit shows. And
yes, I did.
It's a lot of fun to see you again here. Thank you for throwing your hat, your flower, so to speak, into
this
ring. Aren't
the live shows so much fun, Meg? Shouldn't people definitely get their tickets at WATPlive.com?
They should, and they should also go to Hackmania.com to, you know.
Right, let's not confuse the promotion.
Go to the creep-off show.
Yeah. We'll promote that after Largo.
Finally,
let's not confuse
like.
The people.
Well, like
WATPlive.com is the only URL you need to know.
We'll start talking about Hackamania next week.
Correct.
Okay. Oh, I see. Okay.
And it's all Hackamania all the time.
So, Megan, why don't you do your audition as you prepared? Let's get ready for today's contest. You're going to kick us off for it. Ready, scene, begin.
Okie pokey. So last week we had a scum parade, so there were no results to read, which is okay because today the contest will continue and the current score is Carl with 1, Vinny with 0.
Yeah, I like that. Can we get a drop of her saying Vinny with 0?
No.
That's good.
No, we cannot.
Well, in honor of WATP going to Florida this Friday, this week's category is Biggest Creep from Tampa Bay.
All right, so we both brought Zumok, I assume.
Yeah.
All right, we'll just have different presentations.
Yeah, I got the early years. You're going to take the last.
Yeah, you got Cleveland, and I have LA to Tampa.
Yeah, perfect.
But last but not least, tickets are on sale now for Who Are These Podcasts Live at WATPlive.com.
That is correct. Or go to whoarethese.com. There's a link right on our homepage for your tickets.
Ooh. All right, we've hoard for that. The Mechanical Ape, thanks for the $5. Happy Super Chat Monday, everyone. Remember to celebrate by voting for Vinny.
That's not how you celebrate Super
Happy
Chat Monday,
Super
Mechanical
Chat
Ape.
Monday.
That's not how you do it.
He's doing pretty good.
I'm honored to be here on such a holiday as this.
It is a very special day for you, Megan. So, yes, we do have a contest today. We'll be competing for who can bring the biggest creep from Tampa to get our Tampa week started.
Yep. What a way to get warm up to a town, huh?
It's good stuff.
It is. So, Megan, where can people follow you if they'd like to?
Well, I have an Instagram account that I recently made, and my handle is KabuzziCan. It's KABUZZICAN.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Wow. That's unique. I will not remember that, but
KabuzziCan.
I'm sure you'll get a lot of people signing up over there.
All right, Megan.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
you so much. We will see
well,
you.
Hold on a second. I mean, she's not getting as much airtime as the others have gotten, so let me just ask a quick question.
Please.
Megan, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you found the creep off, and there's people in the chat who want to know if you're single and like cats.
I do like cats. I have an orange cat. I am not single. I actually found out about the whole WATP universe through my boyfriend. And during the pandemic, he was very adamant on listening to all the different not podcasts he should not be listening to.
So you found a cool boyfriend. Congratulations on that.
Yeah, that's pretty
good. I'm very, very lucky. He said, well, you know what? You should try this other thing called the creep off. So what I do for a living is currently I'm an Amazon dispatcher / Amazon delivery driver.
Okay.
And I would listen to the creep off on my way to a stop. Sometimes our delivery areas can range from 30 minutes away to an hour away. So it gave me a decent amount of time. I also had to invest in a cochlear headphones so that I'm not broadcasting it out to the world.
Smart. Yes.
Good.
You do
good
not want to be playing the creep off on your phone and walking into residential areas or businesses or anywhere people might be.
You know, I asked Meg and I were chatting a little bit before this started, Carl, and she told me she went to a very weird place over there in Michigan that you might need to check out.
Oh.
And then she also has an idea for the Wheel of Consequences inspired by that place. Where was it, Megan? What was it called?
It's called Frankenmuth, also known as Little Bavaria.
Oh, I like it.
Yep.
Okay.
A very touristy attraction kind of town.
Do they
walkable.
Have beer anywhere around there?
Oh, lots of beer.
Nice.
Many places to grab the beer.
I'm in.
Sometimes, depending, you could walk outside with some of the beer. They have a huge thing going on for Oktoberfest happening.
I would imagine.
But my consequence idea is just from wandering around, all of the people working there were either wearing these little dresses in honor of Bavaria,
mm-hmm.
but the men were wearing lederhosen.
Of course, yeah.
And I think a good consequence idea would be the full lederhosen outfit, including the cute little hat, mm-hmm. the suspender.
I have to pull that out of the closet, huh? I have to find that in the back of my closet.
That's what I said. I bet you he's got one already. I bet you he's already got one. What do you feel? How do you feel about the lederhosen consequence?
I think that's fun. I like that one. Yeah. Why she was saying that, I was thinking about we could also go full Scottish kilt. Do that for a day.
Ooh. Full Roddy Piper.
Yeah. See, you would like that too much. Because they just pretend to be Roddy Piper.
How about this? How about we throw full Roddy Piper? You have to wear the kilt, but then you have to go in half blackface. Like when he did that shit where he was talking shit about the Junkyard Dog.
Great idea.
WWE scrubbed that. Google
great,
Roddy Piper blackface later.
Great
if you are
idea.
A piece of shit and you want to see what that's about.
Oh, goodness.
Well, Megan, thank you for that. I like that idea, actually. I'm going to add it to the wheel.
All right.
Awesome. As long as you write it down.
I won't. All right. Thanks, Megan.
Kabuzz I can, everybody.
Kabuzz I can on Instagram. Follow Megan.
All right, Megan. We'll see you again soon. Bye-bye.
All right. Another lovely addition.
Yeah, man. All of them are lovely.
To the competition. I don't know how we're going to figure this one out.
I don't either. We're going to let everybody vote. So what I'm going to do is we're going to leave this open for a couple more days, probably till Wednesday. And then I'm going to set up a Patreon vote. So it's going to be open to everybody, but it's going to be on our Patreon page. And there'll be links to it. We'll make sure everybody knows where to go. You'll be able to vote for Danny. You'll be able to vote for Mahalia. You'll be able to vote for Megan. And then you'll be able to vote for Redhead Meg. And if we have anybody else, we're going to postpone that vote. And we'll let them audition.
Sounds good.
All right. Now, we have a competition to do, Carl. You're in the lead.
I am.
So that means you have to go first, I believe.
Let's do it. All right. Creepiest person from Tampa. And I actually did not go with Chad Zumach. I found someone who's slightly worse than Chad. And I'll just give you this overview. And then you have some video clips over there I'm going to have you play. But let's start with this.
Ronnie O'Neill shot his girlfriend with a shotgun. She called 911. She exited the residence. Ronnie chased her down and beat her to death with the shotgun. He then stabbed his daughter with an axe. It was referred to as a tomahawk in one report, and stabbed his son with a knife. Ronnie then set his daughter and son on fire using gasoline.
That's right. Ronnie O'Neill III is my creep, and that pretty much summarizes what he was up to.
100 ways to kill your family with Ronnie O'Neill.
Right.
You could use a knife. You could use a tomahawk. You could use a shotgun.
You could use
the
an axe,
end.
Jack.
The blunt end of a shotgun, even.
You could use a knife, Rife. So this is a fun little incident that happened. Apparently, he's hanging out with his girlfriend, who's also the mother of his two children, and he decides that she's been possessed by the devil.
Oh, one
in fact,
of these again?
He says that she has a white devil in her. The worst kind of devil there is, the white kind.
Yeah.
So he chases her.
She was going to work on time. She was investing our money. She had a white devil in her. I knew it.
You open a bank account? What the fuck? This is so responsible of you.
Car insurance. Car insurance.
Wow. Vinny started it this time. Vinny started it.
She hushed him in the movies. I'm just kidding, everybody.
So, yeah, apparently chased her into her daughter, who, by the way, has special needs, mentally handicapped, daughter's room. She's hiding in the daughter's closet. He comes in with the shotgun, shoots her in the arm. The daughter witnesses all of this. So then she runs out, you know, calls 911, runs out. He chases her down in the yard, beats her to death with the shotgun, goes back inside, gets an axe to chop up the special needs daughter, and then attacks his son and stabs him. Now, here's the miracle of this, Vinny. Even though he stabbed his son multiple times and set him on fire, his son got out and survived.
Wow.
And what's fun about this is that Ronnie O'Neill III decided to defend himself. He declined having an attorney try to defend him. He's like, nah, I got this. Hold my beer. And so it's a rare case where the father got to cross-examine the son, who was a witness, in the case. Now, they didn't have the son in the courtroom.
Uh-huh.
He was on video call.
Uh-huh.
But if you play my number four, this is him talking to his son about the incident.
Okay, hold on. Mm-hmm. Number four.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I'll walk around and say, like, some words.
And do you remember what words your father told you to say?
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar?
Yes.
Did he do something to your sister?
Yes, he hit her with an axe.
Okay, so that's him testifying before the cross-examination. I didn't set that up perfectly.
Oh, no.
Right, that was the prosecutor asking him about that. So apparently...
I hate parents when they try to bring up their kids' religious.
I know, yeah. What can I do? I see you're shooting at mom. What can I do to help, Dad? Well, if you were to set a couple Allahu Akbars, that would be helpful.
You got it, Pop. You got it, Pop.
You got it, buddy.
I remember when I was a kid, I used to like to help my dad around the house, too.
Yeah, right. Okay, so this kid's 11 years old at this time. He was 8 when the incident happened. So 3 years later, he's testifying. And this is the question, my clip number 5, this is the question that Ronnie O'Neill asks his son.
I don't like what this is labeled.
Did you see me shoot your mom?
No.
Did I hurt you that night of this incident?
Yes.
I did. And how did I hurt you?
You stabbed me.
And investigators have said that Ronnie O'Neill tried to set his son and their house on fire.
Yeah, so
this guy's not a good lawyer?
No, he's not great. Did I hurt you that night? Yeah, you stabbed me multiple times. You don't remember that? Then you set me on fire. You don't... Dad, come on.
Is this guy going for the who, me defense?
Yeah, he's like, this kid's making this shit up. That, by the way, he had 30% of his body was burnt coming out of that house. So it's really a miracle that he survived.
Wow.
And this is great because the way that this guy's closing arguments, and really this whole case is just ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
So I want to play a couple clips of his closing arguments. This is a lot of fun. So he's trying to intimidate the prosecution. He's like, he's supposed to be addressing the jury. Like, they didn't prove this. He's saying that there's doctored 911 call. There's doctored video. He's claiming that they set him up, that he didn't do this.
Yeah.
And so my
obviously
my clip number one, this is him yelling at the prosecutors.
And like I told you earlier, you will know the truth, whether in this trial or the next one. Better believe it.
Okay.
Because if you think I'm here to play around with y'all, goddamn it, I'm not.
All right, Mr. O'Neill, please stop using swearing language. It's not appropriate in a closing argument.
Thanks, Bob.
Would you want that guy pissed at you, Vinny? Do you see the way he's looking at these?
I'm not here to play around. Ask my wife.
Do you see the way he's looking at these attorneys? He's like, you're next, motherfuckers.
What do you think the bailiff is doing during that? Because he's got to be like, every time he raises his voice, he's got to be like flinching. Like a little
no
bit,
shit.
Right? God damn.
All right. So this is my clip number 2. This is the prosecutor going objecting. He's like, this is not how you do your closing argument, sir.
Yeah, says you.
Now, he played a recording that was sped up. Why didn't you play the regular recording that people can understand what the call was saying?
Objection to the defendant asking me questions, Your Honor.
I'm going to sustain
the talking to people.
Mr. O'Neill, listen, please just keep in mind this is not personal towards the prosecutors. Please keep your comments directed towards the evidence and the law. Thank you.
He's
like, yeah. It's like, that guy was just hired to make this argument against you, sir. He's not actually the problem here. You realize that, right?
This guy isn't a creep. He's kind of fun.
He's a little
fun. He's kind of adorable.
He's fucking nuts, dude.
Yeah, he's crazy.
Well, listen to what he says at the very end of his closing argument, my clip number three here. This might not be the best strategy to go into this
one. I like how you have this one labeled, tell it like it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
You heard Mr. Khalil Brown. You've been hearing me for 2 weeks now. Telling you that they committed criminal acts against me with the 911 calls and that fraudulent video that they just showed y'all. Now, I'm going to prove it to you.
Okay. Please tell me
you heard
Santa
Khalil Brown. He said that he was actually sure that I only hit Kenyatta Barron 3 times. You heard him. I called him to tell you that. I ain't running from nothing. They didn't call Khalil Brown to tell you that. I did. You have to ask yourself why that is. Because I want you to know the actual facts. I did kill Kenyatta Barron.
All right.
But I want you to tell it like it is if you're going to tell it.
So he's mad that they're saying he killed her with hitting her more than 3 times. And he's going, no, I did kill her. But I only hit her those 3 times. That's it. The witness I brought in even said that. He saw me hit her 3 times. Pretty good argument, huh, Vinny? Pretty good.
Not guilty.
Not guilty. Well, wow. The judge might disagree with you on that.
My head is spinning. That is insane.
He's amazing, right? They found him competent to represent himself. I don't know why. I don't know why that is. I think they
should
have been.
You know why it is? Because they were just like, come on, you're right. Let's watch.
It is pretty fun. Yeah. All right. So this is my clip number 6 here. This is the judge sentencing our boy, Ronnie.
19 years I've been at this job. I've seen human beings killed at the hands of others in every way imaginable. You name it, I've seen it. Shootings, stabbings, drownings, suffocates.
Nobody told me they were bragging.
Cars and DUI manslaughter cases. Horrible things. This is the worst case I have ever seen as far as the facts go.
Okay. The worst thing she's ever seen. So Ronnie O'Neill III... on July 23rd, 2021, was given 3 life sentences without the possibility of parole, plus 90 years running consecutively. So they really don't want this guy getting out of prison ever, and he's not going to.
Yeah.
But let me just wrap this in a nice little bow, Vinny.
Okay, I'm interested.
Because Ronnie O'Neill III, his son, Ronnie O'Neill IV, is the kid he tried to kill.
Yeah.
Stabbed him, set him on fire. Well, on November 25th, 2019... Ronnie IV was adopted by Detective Mike Blair, who cared for him the night of the murders. Ronnie IV changed his name to Ronnie Blair when he joined the family of 7, including Mike and his wife and their 5 other children, aged 16 to 23. Mike recalled the night of the murders, saying that there was no expectation Ronnie would live, and that he considers Ronnie's recovery to be a miracle of the adoption. Ronnie says that he is loved and part of the family. So the detective who showed up on the crime scene then adopted this kid and brought him into his family.
I'm going to say that's truly amazing.
I understand we're doing a lot of ball washing for police officers lately, and I apologize for that. But that's pretty incredible. Good on him. Good on Detective Mike Blair.
So, Carl, are you all done now with that?
I am. Vote for Carl at thecreepoff.com. Ronnie O'Neill III. And actually, if you want to pull up the super chat that I saw come in.
Hold on.
I think this person has a pretty good
second Let's do
idea
that.
As well.
Well, hold on. We missed a couple.
Oh,
here.
Yeah, we did miss a couple.
Andrew Gonzalez says, Jessica looks different this week. Thanks for the $5.
Agreed. She's trying a different look. LiveWeen, $2 says, Isotopes, amazing a tier for Eddie cover. Carl wins. That's correct, LiveWeen. Check out the Isotopes, a tier for Eddie on YouTube. You can see us playing it live at this very club, actually.
No shit.
During the pandemic. this club was nice enough to let us play a couple shows for the cameras because we weren't allowed to have people here.
Yeah, I was really nice to you.
You were.
Ladies and gentlemen, I know Carl hates it when I start off my creep like that, but I implore you to listen
to
me. Yeah,
if I had the taser.
I'll just get into this. My creep today, he has a couple of great nicknames. Some call him the handyman.
Mm-hmm.
Other people call him the granny killer.
Okay.
But his friends called him Mike, Carl.
Okay, I was going to say, handyman's not so bad.
Nope. Nope. And I would say the granny killer is really light. It's pretty light.
You could call Kevorkian that, and I like what he did.
Yeah, certainly. Edwin Bernard Mike Caprat III was a smart but easily enraged young kid. He was prone to violent outbursts as a child. He'd bully younger, smaller children. Nobody likes a bully, Carl.
Well, that's who you bully, though. You don't bully the bigger kids.
Yeah.
It'd be stupid.
He was such a bully that like the teachers couldn't get him to stop like punching shit.
Mm-hmm.
So they brought in like these big dolls for him to punch instead of other kids.
Oh, fun.
Have you ever heard of anything like this?
Yeah,
like,
take it out on this thing over here.
Yeah. They're like, go punch this, please.
Yeah. Weird.
Yeah, agreed. So he began drinking by the age of 12. Mm-hmm. He grew up into a violent, addicted adult. His father later said his son at one point attempted to murder his younger son and sexually assault his wife. Mike's stepmother. Now, he also went into hiding from his son for a very long time.
Oh, he wanted to fuck his stepmother.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
yeah, he tried to rape her. So they went into hiding.
Who amongst us? Anyway, go on.
All right. Either way. So... February 21st, 1991, a gentleman named Lee Anthony Begay, 27, was found beaten to death on the beach in Courtney Campbell mangroves. Caprat used Bugby's credit card to buy gas.
Mm.
A warrant was put out for his arrest, but he fled to New Jersey, and he ended up turning himself in. Now, they charged him with the murder. They also questioned him on an attack on another man found set on fire alive near the same causeway the day after that attack. Now...
our creeps have two things in common. They're both the third, and they both set their victims on fire.
Oh, boy, did he. I got to... Hold on, Carl.
And this wasn't outside of the Israeli...
No, this was in Tampa.
Okay.
This is Tampa. So he ends up getting off on these charges. They didn't have enough evidence against him. He said he found the card, you know, he whatever. They couldn't prove he did anything. So... he ends up getting convicted of using the dead man's credit card. He's given house arrest. Guess where they made him serve his house arrest?
Tampa?
At his parents' house.
Okay.
His dad, who doesn't like him because he tried to rape
that
his
sucks.
Wife. Yeah.
Sucks
so
for the parents.
Now he's at the house for 2 years. He's out of house arrest by May of 93. Now, his parents threw him out the second his house arrest was over. He moves in with his sister by the late summer. Now, he made a great impression on everybody in his new neighborhood, Carl. By beating the shit out of his girlfriend in the front yard. Now, neighbors witnessed it. They said first he pushed her to the ground, her purse went flying. Then he grabbed her by the hair, put her over his shoulder, and hauled her back into the house screaming. That's when the next-door neighbors gave him another nickname, Carl. They referred to him as the Neanderthal.
Well, what did she do to deserve this? Are you going to explain that part of it? Was she being lippy? Was she talking during a movie? What was going on?
I don't know what she was doing. I'm guessing not talking in a movie while she was on the front lawn. This is him, by the way.
Okay.
He's a very handsome man.
He looks like he could be an artist on TV.
Happy little trees, everybody.
Yeah, he looks
happy
like he could teach
trees.
You how to paint or something.
I wanted to make sure you got a glimpse of this fucking sociopath.
Okay.
Good news, though, Carl. His father decided to give him a second chance and hired him to work for him in his handyman business.
Well, that was very nice of him.
Now, he did a great job for approximately 7 weeks. During those 7 weeks, Mike went on a spree, buddy.
Uh-oh.
And it started with Sophia Frances Garrity. She is an 80-year-old widowed woman who lived alone. And on August 7th, 1993, a fire erupted through her home, killing her. It was ruled accidental, but it turns out that he ended up confessing to this later. So that was the first one. He set an old lady's house on fire and she burned alive.
Okay.
Now, William and Alice Whitney... these two.
He's really into fire, this guy.
He's into a lot of things,
okay.
Carl. We're going down a quick list.
All right.
Now, this is a lovely old couple. They're in their 80s. And William was 84 and Alice was 83. They were trying to sell their house. And one day, they are just attacked and beaten in the middle of the day by someone pretending to be interested in the house. Their house was set on fire but did not burn down. Both people survived but were hospitalized. Alice had Alzheimer's. And she couldn't, she was like no use to the cops. She just had a black eye. And she was like, is it Thai for breakfast?
Yeah.
And then the other guy, he got beat so bad, he was like a vegetable.
Okay.
And he never came out of it. So now we're going to the next day, Carl, August 18th. A woman named Ruth Goldsmith dies in a fire at her mobile home. The whole thing was burnt down. She was 70 years old, and she unfortunately lived next to a woman named Lydia Riddle. Carpet decided to escalate his attacks at this point because...
Well, I'm shocked that there's mobile homes in this area.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that one, there's one less of them thanks
right,
to,
that's true. Yeah,
to Mike. Point. He burnt that one down. But
imagine being 70 years old and living in a mobile home. Like...
My grandma did.
Did she?
My mom's mom, that woman was from Kansas. She was fucking weird. And she lived in a trailer until she died.
Your family's fucking crazy.
Yeah, man. Dude, I'm fucking crazy.
I know. I'm learning that.
So, here's what I like about this guy. There's only one thing I like. He liked a good prank phone call.
Oh, me too.
So he would just be calling old women.
Hey, why is your house burning down, jerky? Hey, why is it so hot in your room right now, jerky?
How you doing there, sizzle tits? Sizzle is your titties tits. On fire?
I fell down the stairs and my shoes fell off and then my house burned down. Very hurt.
Is your house on fire too? It might be on fire. You should check. Well, his next two victims, Carl, started getting obscene phone calls. Heavy breathing.
Uh-huh.
Violent threats. Sounds of masturbating into the phone. And, they weren't the only ones. These calls were happening all over town. So,
jacking it, jack. Spanking it, smack.
And cranking it into the phone. Now, please do not let me forget the phone calls. We'll get back to that in a minute.
Okay.
But I mentioned a woman named Lydia Riddle. Now, she's 79 years old. She lived in the mobile home next door to the other lady. And on September 2nd, a couple weeks after this, police determined that she had been bound with duct tape, raped, and then had a bunch of her blankets piled up on top of her and set on fire. So now he's not just setting old people on fire or just beating them fucking up and trying to set their house on fire. Now he's straight up raping old women. Carl, don't get too upset.
Oh, bitch.
Police told the media she had received at least 3 phone calls from what sounded like the same man in the week before her death. Apparently he broke in, prying open a utility door. Now, because of the suspicious nature of the fire, i.e. her being raped and tied up, they're like, hey, didn't her neighbor's house burn down like a month before?
Right.
Now they're starting to put it together. That leads us to Lorraine Alice Burnham Daw.
It's like those assholes running the faucets in Home Alone.
Yeah.
You can't have a calling card. It's a bad idea.
It is. Now, this woman, her name, like I said, is Alice. She was 87 years old. She lived at home. They found her dead in her home, wrapped in a bedspread, pillows and shit on fire. It looked like it had been set on fire, but the fire went out. He didn't do a very good job, but she had been also raped pretty hard. All around the world, he went on this 87-year-old woman. And the good news is, though, she fought pretty hard because they found her dentures next to her body with a chunk of flesh in it that they took it off. Part of this motherfucker's shoulder, and then her dentures fell out while he was raping
her. That's fun.
But they found out later that she died in probably the most heinous way of all of them.
Oh, yeah? What was that?
Because after he was done raping her, he thought she was having a heart attack, so he stomped on her neck till it snapped. So, fun fact, the dad did maintenance work for all of these people.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's a connection there.
The dad is the one who went and put the for sale sign in the front of the house of those two people who got the shit kicked out of them. This guy was just beating up all and murdering all of his dad's clients and raping them. All these fucking old people are
probably not helping the business, I would imagine.
Definitely not doing his father any
right.
favors.
Yeah, probably not.
The police get an
anonymous tip. Right there.
Anonymous tip. This guy's got a connection through the dad. The cops start following him around. And they start investigating. They put surveillance on him. They put out warrants for his car, home, and person. They asked for 50 pubic hairs off of this guy. Just imagine to the rapes. And they arrested him outside of his parents' house. And he immediately confessed, Carl.
Okay, good.
22 counts, including 4 murders in the attack on the Whitneys, burglary, and arson. The USA Today named him the granny killer, but I think he should be the granny raper slash killer because he did a little bit of both.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What about all the arson, too? And also, you started this off talking about how he's an alcoholic and stuff, but does that have anything to do with any of this?
No, he's a sociopath, insane person. This is a psycho. This is a maniac. You think your guy was a maniac because he murdered his family? This guy murdered a bunch of other people's old grandmothers. In fact, one of those grandmothers, they loved her. They called her the cookie lady, all the kids on the street. He murdered the fucking cookie lady. He raped the cookie lady and set her on fire, everyone. So,
oops, they rocked them.
In Florida, they tried him separately for all of these.
Yeah.
And the first two, he got the death penalty, so they stopped charging him with everything, and they're just like, whatever. They left him in jail. He tried to kill himself when he first went in, but he failed. Because he's a pussy. So they give him two. He's got two death sentences on him. And in prison, turns out, he kind of liked it.
Oh, okay.
He was bragging about how he was getting along. He was doing the, George Bluth in prison. Just like having the time of his life.
This is going great.
He said he was playing the stock market, reading paperbacks, having a great old time until some other guys just decided, oh, this is the dude who was raping and murdering grandmas. So they stabbed him to death in April of 1995.
And that's the way the news goes.
This man was a truly heinous, disgusting individual who got off on raping old women. We don't like sex with old women, do we, Carl?
No, we do not. That's gross. Stop talking about it.
Okay, let's move on. That's my creep this week. Go to thecreepoff.com and remember to vote for your pal Vinny.
Or vote for Carl because he brought the bigger creep.
I don't think so. So let's see what we got here. We got a couple more super chats. James Gardner, thanks for the $4.99. Good ending for the kid, but cop for a dad, my nightmare.
Well,
good point.
I'd rather have the police officer as my father, but I know what you mean. Yeah. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
It seemed like
you're not going to get away with anything, but at least he's not going to stab you.
Yeah, at least he probably doesn't think that you have like a white demon inside you that he needs to get out with a knife.
Yeah. I will tell you this, though. A cop dad will beat you with a phone book.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it doesn't leave the bruises. You know?
Smart.
He knows what to do. So, E, thanks for the $5. I thought the Meg was an above average size shark. Not, hey.
Oh, whoa.
Not nice, E. You'd be nice.
That's fucked up.
You're real. I think you're really funny. Carl, are you ready to do some cop cam videos? Because I love them and I look forward to them every week.
Yes. In fact, I have just a fun one for us today. And again, I want to thank Jeff Spangler for sending this over.
The always, Spang.
Always does a good job sending us fun stuff to look at. And so this is 3:30 in the afternoon. And there's a gentleman in his BMW who's passed out in his car. And the police want to come up and inspect what's going on. So that's where we pick up the story.
Cops are being busybodies again.
Yep.
Why don't you just go adopt a kid and leave this poor guy alone? Here we go. Sleepy time, this is labeled.
Today we're in Evanston, Illinois, where a man was found asleep behind the wheel of his car.
He can't figure out how to open the door.
Just before 3:30 on a fall afternoon, police got a call about this man, later identified as James Collins. The caller said he was stumbling and had trouble getting inside his silver BMW. It appears Collins is also having trouble opening his car door for the officer.
You only get one opportunity to make a first impression.
That's true. Yes, we're off to a bad start here. So now he finally gets the door open, and the police officer has a pretty basic question. First, he asks for his ID, and he can't find it. So then he has a pretty basic question, and we'll hear his answer.
Okay.
You live here?
Yes, sir.
Where do you live at?
Evanston.
What's your address?
1738.
1738 what?
13.
What's your whole address, sir?
1318.
1318?
Yes, sir.
1318 what?
18.
Excuse me?
Are these fucking coordinates? What is he doing?
He's fucking out of it. Wow. What's your address? 1318. What do
in
you want?
In the chat, Dr. Scotty Jones said, give him a break. He just woke up.
Yeah, right. That's a good point. He's a little bit out of it. Yep. Just woke up. Yep. He's like, you're bothering me during my nap time, sir.
I bet you the cop has another question.
What's that?
Is it your third clip?
Oh, yeah. So he finally gets his ID out, and the address that he was saying is not even close.
All right. The next question the officer had, I think it's labeled pretty nicely on your clip. How much have you had to drink?
Yes.
Sir, how much have you had to drink today?
No.
Nothing?
No, sir.
If you've given me multiple addresses, your eyes are all glassy, you had trouble opening your door, you're swaying when you're standing. So how much have you had to drink today, sir?
None. Vinny's had none to drink today. You think so?
I think he might be lying.
You think maybe he's a little bit inebriated?
James Gardner, thanks for the $1.99. He says, good points. He's right. I think this guy is lying, or he did something else. This could be pills.
Yep.
This could be lots of things.
All right, well, let's see. Let's. The officer wants to know if he has his keys on him.
Okay.
You have your keys on you?
Yes, sir.
Hey, where are they?
Now he's clipping his wallet back together. He's got his money and his credit cards. He's handing that to the officer.
These are not your keys. This is your IDs and... All right, I'll hold on to these for you, all right?
Yes, sir.
Where are your keys?
Now he's bending over and picking up a leaf from the ground.
All right, sir. When my partner gets... Where are your keys at, sir? Are they... stay right there. Where are your car keys at?
Yes, sir.
Just stay out here.
He's like, my leaves.
He's like, what's this in my hand? I got a leaf. Will that start the car? Maybe there's a TikTok video that shows you how to start a car with a leaf. I don't know.
This is really marvelous.
This is crazy. So now he finally confesses that he has had a couple drinks.
Between you and me, officer.
This day.
Between you, me, and this leaf. I may have had a few Chardonnays.
I can't lie to you, my new friend.
Here we go.
What did you drink today?
I had 11 drinks.
11 drinks?
Yes, sir.
All right. What kind of drinks did you have?
I had 11.
Whiskey drink. I had a vodka drink. I had a cider drink. Yeah. I had a lager drink.
He goes, what kind of drinks did you have? And he goes, 11. All right. Not the question, but I get it. I got to say, that's impressive. He didn't know his address, but you know how many drinks he had? I lose track after four.
I don't believe him. I think he had 13 or 18.
Yeah, you know what, Vinny? You might be right. So the question, of course, is are you willing to take a sobriety test?
Yeah, hold on. Flutter-64, $2. Hulk Hogan meetup when and where? Thursday night at Hulk Hogan's place.
Yes, we'll be there. The whole crew will be down at Hulk Hogan's bar and grill, whatever that place is. What is it called? Do you know?
No. Nobody knows.
No, somebody knows. They were talking about it in the Discord this morning. And it's kind of funny because it's called Hogan's Hangout.
Cool.
Because somebody asks, is this a Hulk Hogan-themed bar or does he just own it? And Jerry goes, both. So he created his own bar that's about him, which is hilarious.
Carl, you don't think you're ever going to have the WATP grill?
No, I don't think I'm going to do that.
Really?
No, I don't think so.
You could order the Carl hamburger.
That'd be funny. Everyone has to like put in shitty teeth and one of the glasses with the nose and everything to serve people.
And they just laugh like assholes as they bring you your food, shrieking.
You know what? I don't think this business is going to do very well, yeah. Vinny.
With terrible puns on the menu.
I'm going to say no to this right now.
The producer, Chris P. Fries.
Oh, that's pretty good. I was going to say, I'll have one of your Carl hamburgers, please.
Yeah, yeah. Less, no, do you want sass or no sass on that?
Extra sass.
All right.
All right.
Sobriety
so,
test.
Yeah, so he asks, are you willing to take a sobriety test? And I think this is the right move right here.
All right, sir. Based on what you're telling me, how much you've had to drink and your fact that you were asleep behind the wheel.
Yes.
You got calls about you stumbling, you having a little bit of trouble walking. When I asked you for your keys, you picked up a leaf. Are you willing to submit? I believe you're under the influence of alcohol, all right?
Yes, sir.
Are you willing to submit to sobriety test?
No, sir.
No, sir? All right. Are you willing to submit to a PBT, a portable breath test?
No, sir.
No?
Okay.
So you're not going to... You're not willing to submit to any tests?
No, sir. Okay.
I got to say, that's probably the right move right there.
Yeah.
Because you're that loaded, you've been day drinking, you've been pounding drinks all day. Obviously, you're wasted. But if you're going to get out of this in any single way or get it reduced or something, you don't want to give them the hard evidence of how wasted you are.
Your license is gone at this point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, might as well take the smaller.
Right. So I'm not an attorney. Don't listen to me and my advice. I just think from my perspective, this is what I probably would have done. And there's a reason why he knows what to do. And that's my next clip here, number 7.
Okay. Oh, okay. I get it. I see the clip.
Have you ever had a DUI before?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir? When's the last time you got a DUI? What year?
2018. Yes, sir.
He started to wake up a little bit. He actually answered that question with an appropriate response. That was good. What year? He actually threw out a year. Who knows?
2011, 2018.
Yeah. I'm guessing this guy's probably likes the alcohol a little bit too much. If he's not blackout, passed out drunk at 3:30 in the afternoon. That's impressive. That shows commitment
right there. But you know what, though? His car is parked perfectly in that space.
It is, though. Yeah. You know what? I'm not even sure if the keys were in the ignition. So I'm not sure how they're going to get him on that, to be honest with you. And yesterday was St. Patrick's Day. I'm sure a lot of the people watching the show now were probably this drunk at 3:30 in the afternoon. This is not St. Patrick's Day, though, that we're watching right now. This is just not November 3rd. Okay, so no real reason to be this drunk mid-afternoon on November 3rd.
All right, well, I think he has a good defense here. Is that what I'm looking at?
Okay, so, yeah, he tries to pull. And listen, when you're in trouble with the police, you know you fucked up. Sometimes you try to do the thing where it's like, hey, my uncle was a former police officer. I don't know if that means anything. Or, you know, you throw out something. This guy picks the wrong thing.
Okay.
I'm a soldier.
You're a soldier?
Yes, sir.
You're still a soldier right now?
Yes, sir.
With who?
I'm a military soldier.
Yeah. Sir. Where did you serve?
82nd.
Zumach Army?
When?
82nd, sir.
When?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. 82nd Air Force, sir.
He kept saying 82nd.
Oh, when? Yeah, the 82nd Airborne.
82nd, 82nd. Yeah, but when? 82nd. When do you think? Duh, I just told you that. So this police officer is also former military.
Uh-huh.
And I'm pretty sure you don't say I'm a soldier. Wouldn't you say, you know, I'm former military, or you would say what your rank was or something like that?
Yep.
I don't think you just say, I'm a soldier, sir. I'm a soldier. It's like, oh, you're a soldier right now? Yeah, I am. Okay. You didn't really have a lot of follow-up for that. Probably not a good idea because I don't know if you know this, but military guys, when people pretend that they're in the military, don't like that very much.
Not a big fan.
Not a big fan of that. So then, for some dumb reason, probably because he's pretty drunk, he agrees to doing the field sobriety.
Awesome.
This was a bad move, in my opinion. You see what happens here.
I didn't tell you to move. I didn't tell you to move. Just stay right there. Put your left foot on the line.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Ready?
All right. Now place your right foot on the line in front of the left, just like this. See how I'm doing it?
Yes, sir.
Keep your left foot on the line and put your right foot in front of your left foot. All right. I didn't tell you to start walking. I just need you to...
Again.
Feet together. Feet together. Nope. I just stay right there. Place your feet together. Like you see my feet? Feet together. Hands at your side. Alright? Alright, I didn't tell you to do anything. I'm asking you to put your feet together. Your feet together. And hands at your side.
Yes, sir.
And again.
Alright, sir. I got one last question. You need to do a preliminary breath test.
Sure, yeah, I'll try it.
All right, I'll give you one more chance to do that, all right?
Yes, sir.
Feet together. See my feet?
Yes, sir.
Stand up straight. Hands at your side.
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay, I didn't ask you to do anything else. All right.
I love these police officers. Always start playing Simon Says with these drugs, and they can never get it right.
Oh, my God.
They can never fucking figure it out.
This guy's an eager beaver. He just wanted to get it done.
He really is. But I don't even know why. I guess they have to go through with this. The guy can't even stand up straight. You really think that he's going to be able to pass a field sobriety test? If I was the police officer, I'd be like, look, we could do this, but you're just going to fall over and embarrass yourself. So So then they bring
I like a show, though. I'm down for a show on the side of the road. Breaks up your day a little.
No, I agree with you. That is fun, especially if he does fall over. So then they bring out the breathalyzer. This is my last clip on here, and this is impressive. I've never seen this. Breath.
All right, sir. You blew a .343, all right? Legal limit's .08. All right, sir? Right now, I need you to turn around and put your hands behind your back. You're under arrest for DUI.
.343?
And that's a fact, Jack.
Wow.
Wow.
So, I looked this up, because I've never seen someone blow a .34 before. When you get to .31 and above, that's life-threatening. You could get alcohol poisoning. This is how drummers in rock bands die. This is like the choking on your own vomit while you're passed out level of alcoholism.
It's don't stay away from a ham sandwich if you're that drunk, everybody.
That is why he was just sleeping in his car completely out of it. .343. So
that's fucking insane.
Very impressive, sir.
Wow.
Congrats.
Yeah. Great job, buddy. You killed it. I guess that makes it time for voicemails, Carl.
Yeah, those ain't real, dude. It's over four times the limit. Four times the limit would be .32. He's .34.
Jesus.
So it's crazy. I do think we missed one in here.
Yep. Cute boy Charlie, thanks for the five. Was that euros, Carl? Vote for Carl.
No, that's pounds, baby. Pounds.
Vinny doesn't know his wrestling history. Bad News Brown, Vinny. I know Bad News Brown is.
Hold on. We got to look at Matthew Rowley, and then we'll get back to cute boy Charlie. I don't know what he's talking about. Matthew Rowley, $5, says, ouch, this was a rough one for Carl. Vinny really brought it. Still, Vinny sucks. Vote Carl every time.
Come on. I don't
suck I brought it.
I don't suck that
Matthew,
bad.
Matthew, I brought it. Vote for me because I brought it this week.
Matthew Rowley both made us whiny bitches there.
Yeah, I know, right?
Fucking incredible.
So what's the question about Bad News Brown, Vinny?
I don't know. He says, I don't know wrestling. I don't know Bad News Brown. Bad News Brown was like a pimp and he murdered women. He was in WCW. He's the guy you brought for your wrestling creep.
There you go.
When I brought the Big Boss Man.
Don't ever tell Vinny he doesn't know his wrestling history.
Yeah. And if you think I don't know it, you think Carl does?
No.
All right.
I do not.
Let's do some voicemails.
The Creep Off voicemail segment is brought to you by the City of Syracuse. The SU basketball team has opted out of the NIT tournament. Even so, the men's team is still expected to double the ratings of the women's team. See you in Syracuse.
God, Syracuse has gotten bad, haven't they? They're not even in the NIT.
It's not good.
Yikes.
I miss Boeheim. I mean, so what? You had to pull a vagrant from the outside of his bumper every now and again.
Yeah.
All right. We got a message from Chad's Missing Upper Lip.
Vinny, Carl. Chad's Missing Upper Lip. How about this? Megan can be the results chick as long as she's on mute and does it like mime style. You shut the fuck up, hold up a cue card that says results, and that's it. God damn it, I've never heard someone so annoying.
Oh, thanks. Fuck off.
Fuck you, bye.
You didn't think that story about how she won the spelling bee and how she held the sign upside down wasn't cute? What are you guys, crazy?
I did see someone in the chat say that redhead Meg on today's show had the best voice so far.
Okay. Well, you're all going to have your say in this, but you leave Megan alone.
I mean, it's not a terrible idea. We could bring some of these girls
out. Oh, no, I'm fine with them. Yeah, okay.
Holding up a sign's a fun way to do it.
Wheel of Consequence idea, Carl.
Hi, Carl and Vinny. I got an idea for your little Wheel of Consequences, kind of building off of the change your name idea. Vinny should have to just change his name to V-I-N-N-Y, and Carl should just change it to C-A-R-L instead of Ku Klux Carl. Or
Vinny.
Legally change your last name to Hamburger, and I'll just spell my nickname differently. Perfect. I'm fine with that.
V-I-N-N-Y.
Then my Bret Hart poster will finally make sense.
Yeah, I'm not going to change the spelling of my first name. I don't think that's a good idea, but I do like legally changing my last name to Hamburger. That's fun.
Got some love for some actual love for Meg, Carl.
Hey, watching the latest creep-off on YouTube, and I got to say, big fan of Pitts from Kentucky. I mean, Megan from Kentucky. She's awesome. Love the show.
That's right. Megan, we got some
other feedback on the results girl contest.
Hey, Carl and Vinny, this is for the creep off. So yeah, that last review girl, did fucking Stone Cold Steve Austin name her or some shit? My hell yeah.
Can't remember if I played that. Sorry, that's a couple weeks old.
You say my hell yeah.
Very good. And then I have this voicemail for us. It's a little long, man. We'll see if we can get through it.
Hi, Carl. This is Jeff Heisen. I'm the co-host of the Tom Myers versus the West of the World podcast.
Fuck you up, Heisen.
I had an opportunity the other day to listen to the podcast, your podcast, and Vinny Paulino was reviewing the Michael Mara show. I got to tell you, it was nice for a change to hear him not make fun of me and my role on Tom's show. I've never quite understood why he's so hard on me. We have more in common than we actually do have differences. Hmm. One thing is we both work for nerds with enormous egos.
I don't work for him.
And we both think that we're actually fun, that we're funnier than we actually are.
That is true.
I do have a couple of tips for Vinny that can help him on. For one, whenever your host stops talking, you need to have a signature laugh.
Yeah.
I like to use. Also, when your host introduces you, be sure to have a funny anecdote ready. With Tom, I would use something like, I had a taco salad for lunch yesterday, and boy, did I feel like Donald Trump.
That's good.
With Carl, you could use something like, I listened to the Misfits on the way to work today, and boy, are my arms tired. What you're doing there is you're talking about something your host hates and also using a classic joke. Anyway, Vinny, I hope these tips help. Don't call me back.
Thanks, Jeff Heisen, for the phone call.
That laugh, though. You got that down, dude.
It's good.
Bravo.
It's so annoying.
Bro. Oh, you know what? Cute boy Charlie does have me right. 2 pounds. He's got me. He was right. He was facing Bad News Brown.
Oh,
and
Roddy
I said
Piper
it was Junkyard Dog.
Oh, Vinny, you've brought shame to our program. How dare you,
ladies,
sir?
Ladies and gentlemen, take my card.
I am so glad Cute Boy Charlie is here.
Take my fan card. It's fine.
I am so glad you were here to call him on this bullshit. What else are you lying to us about, Vinny? What else? Is this even a comedy club?
I've been spelling my name with a Y the whole time.
Motherfucker.
So listen, I got to, I'm looking through these and everybody's leaving a super long fucking voicemail.
Yeah, Dwyer Christian, 45 fucking seconds per call.
Ah, sorry guys, 45 seconds. I'm done with voicemails now.
Okay.
I want to play these guys, I really do, because they're funny shit, but you got to fucking, you can't send me something that's a
minute,
20 seconds.
Well, play one of them. Let's see if you're right, if they're funny or not.
I'm just saying that to make them feel better, Carl. I don't know if they're funny. I'm not wasting my time.
All right, fair enough.
Carl, I think it's time for a scum parade. Could you play my favorite jingle?
Watch out for the scum parade. Oh no, it's a scum parade. Look out for the scum parade. Making Vinny's day. Part
is that this really does make your day. You love these stories more than anything in life.
You know what? I forgot about this one that we've had. I've been meaning to play this too, so I'm gonna throw this one out there.
Okay. That's tight. Who sent that in?
I don't know, but we've had it a long time and it doesn't get enough love.
Oh, that's great.
Sorry, I don't have it labeled, but Carl,
is there a meeting going on next door to us, Vinny?
Hold on, I'll tell you.
I just hear a lot of people talking. There shouldn't be people right next to us. There's a hallway here. It's not necessarily
just being loud, a
meeting place. Okay. Vinny slammed the door to send a message. That's always good.
I didn't slam it.
Sounded slammy to me.
Didn't you hear me yell, "Shut the fuck up, you cunts"?
I didn't.
You blabbermouth cunts.
Listen, maybe you can say that in a comedy club, but not on YouTube, all right? Watch your mouth.
Okay, good point. Carl, there's some new laws going around.
Yes, there are.
And I figured we should probably start talking about it here. Because,
Congress is acting, everyone.
Yeah, here's the situation. Two teenage boys from Miami, Florida were arrested in December, Carl, for allegedly creating and sharing AI-generated nude images of male and female classmates without consent,
so,
according to police reports.
Here's the question, because I don't know the details of this, Vinny. Are they finding an attractive girl because they want to know what she looks like naked? Or are they finding like fat girls and goofing on them with these AI deepfakes? Because there's two different things there.
There are. But the parents are very, very upset about this, Carl. And I think I would be more upset if they were making fun of my daughter who looks like me than I would be yes. if I had a cute daughter.
Right. Like these 13-year-old kids are beating off to AI-generated photos of my daughter. I'm like, that's
pretty
cool.
I assume all of them are jerking off at all times. Even sure. All of them. They're all jerking it at some point.
Well, these you kids. Like to think about teenage boys jerking off, any, but let's not do that on this show, all right? That's not what we talk about.
I'm sorry, what were you saying?
That's not what we talk about. Jacking it.
The boys are 13 and 14. They created the images of students who are also between the ages of 12 and 13.
Not good.
Definitely not a good choice. Use for AI. The Florida case appears to be the first arrest and criminal charges as a result of alleged sharing of AI-generated nudes to come to light. The boys were charged with third-degree felonies, wow. The same level of crimes as grand theft auto or false imprisonment. Under a state law passed in 2022, which makes it a felony to share any altered sexual depiction of a person without their consent.
Yeah, now, I'm not sure how I feel about this one. I have mixed emotions about it, Vinny. Because I understand why, let's say you're a 14-year-old girl, you're, you know, in high school, and someone's making AI nudes of you and passing along with the other classmates. Now, on one hand, you'd be like, well, that's like an invasion of my privacy. I don't want people thinking that I have nude photos of me. But on the other hand, it's kind of great because now you can say that anything people find is fake and AI generated.
Oh, yeah.
So when
I've been dealing with this shit back in high school.
You had to deal with this?
No, that's what you tell people. I've been dealing with this shit back in high school. It's all fake. Everybody's making fake stuff. No, I agreed with you.
When the dick pics of me eventually surface, I'm just going to be like, oh, no, that's all fake. I have a much bigger hog than that. This is just computer generated.
Remember Dustin Diamond?
Yeah, I sure do. Yeah. Okay.
So I got the pleasure of hanging out with Dustin Diamond for a couple of days. And he loved to talk about that fucking sex tape of his.
Oh, because he's got like a, I've never seen it, but I've heard he's got a big dick, right?
So here's what he claims.
Okay.
This is what he claimed, God rest his soul. It was a goof. I hired a guy. They didn't show me my face in the dick. I hired a guy with a giant dick to stand in for me in this thing because I figured if I was going to release it, I wanted everybody to think I had a giant dick.
That's fucking brilliant.
So say whatever you want to about Dustin Diamond. I don't know if he's telling me the truth or not.
I'm pulling Peter North out of retirement. I love it.
Right. But that was his claim, too, that it was fake and that it was all for a fucking goof. So I don't know.
Hey, Jenny Jingles, would you mind fucking a porn star for a goof that I'm doing? She'd be like, yeah, let's go. What are we waiting for?
What a great joke.
Yeah, I've been on this joke too, Carl. That's
look
fine.
At, look
go.
At me sitting in the corner masturbating. This is hysterical. So I don't know anything about this, but
go ahead. I'm sorry.
James Center, thanks for the $4.99. I nominated Mersh for doing revenge porn on a former cam girl he failed to hook up with, all because she cleared up lies he told on his show.
Oh, I don't know about that either.
Cool. Look forward to meeting Mersh to hear all
about
it.
We'll talk about it in Largo, Florida, everybody.
Yeah.
Great. How do you feel about this whole thing? They're passing laws now about AI-generated
nudes. You got to protect kids. But this is a weird thing. We're talking 12
Is it harming
kids.
The kids, though?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I don't really care. But I'm saying if you're for the interest of protecting a 12-year-old, they probably don't need the pressures of the idea of people jerking off to them at 12 years old.
You know what? We shouldn't be talking about this. Let's bring in Redhead Meg, who's still backstage. I want to get her take on this. You were once in high school, I assume. Junior high, middle school.
I was.
How would you feel about guys circulating fake nudes of you around?
I would not enjoy that.
You wouldn't be flattered by that?
No.
Be bummed out about it?
No, I would not. I think it's because of the time that we live in now where, I mean, when I was in high school, I am in my 30s now. So when I was in high school, cell phones weren't a really big deal, but
Microsoft Paint wasn't as good back then. You couldn't really pull it off the way you can now.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, having it circle around now, it lasts forever.
Well, yeah, it does and it doesn't. Because I guess my point is that as soon as AI can just generate anyone being nude, like the Taylor Swift thing. So now there's just hundreds and thousands of images of Taylor Swift nude and in Bukkake images and things like that. Not that I looked it up. I'm just assuming. But
right.
I have to imagine that once there's all out there, and it's just like, well, it's all fake. Who gives a shit? Everyone's got it. It's all fake.
Who is the musician who released an album titled, was it Avril Lavigne who had an album called Nude? So when people Googled Avril Lavigne Nude, her album would come
up. Smart. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, I think that was the thing that happened. It might be somebody else. I don't know.
Yeah, but hopefully, yeah. Hopefully it's someone else.
Same kind of mind bending as a, in order for people to look up Disney Frozen and the frozen body of Walt Disney not showing up, the new Frozen movie came out.
Is that the same thing? Thanks for coming on, Meg. It was great to talk to you. Thanks, again. Man. Appreciate it. I'm Disney now after this past WATP.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and say this, Carl. Yeah. My stance is I'm on AI side. Always going to be on AI side. That's just
Yes, I actually appreciate our new leaders.
Yes.
Yes.
AI.
I'm happy to do their bidding.
So, listen, here's my thing. You probably shouldn't be using AI to generate naked pictures of children.
You probably should not.
Even if you are a child yourself.
Even if you're thinking like, no, I know how Congress is going to go with this one. Don't chance it. Don't even chance it on this one.
I love it. Let's go to Cleveland. I hear home of a few creeps that we know.
Mm-hmm.
Some people would call this next story a little disturbing, inhumane, or even barbaric. But the Erie County Sheriff's Department is calling it a crime, is my favorite start to a story ever.
Okay.
Disturbing, inhumane, and barbaric. And by the way, that's illegal. Good point.
I'll be the judge of that.
A father is accused of using a cattle prod to discipline his two young children, 7 and 8 years old.
Well, what's the point of having a cattle prod if you can't use it?
To prod cattle.
What if you don't have any cattle? Then what are you using it for?
Why do you have it?
Because it's fun. Why do you have toys? Why do you own so many toys? Because they're fun.
They are fun.
Yeah.
34-year-old Robert Boers was arrested Wednesday night after a tip from Child Services led them to his home. Boers was taken to the Erie County Jail and charged with 3 counts of domestic violence and 3 counts of endangering children.
Well, hold on a second. Did the cops ask the children what they did that was so naughty that got them cattle? I hope they also asked what they did.
He did.
No fact checking.
He did, and the kid said, asked for dinner.
Okay, well, maybe I didn't deserve that.
Okay, I don't know if that's true.
Needed help with my homework.
So...
So after the police were done using their taser on Robert Boers, they lectured him about the dangers of electric shock, right?
Yeah. The device is probably a pole 3 feet long with 2 probes on either end. It has a button. When you push it, the button delivers a shock between the 2 probes. Boers did make some admissions to using the instrument to discipline his children. He said, "It's terrible. I don't know what would compel someone to think they could use a device like this with his kids. I'm kind of bewildered," said the sheriff. Boers made his initial appearance in court. His bond was set at $90,000.
Yeah, those ain't real, dude. Says cattle is just a suggestion. I agree. Yeah. Let's not get crazy on this. You know what I want to know, Vinny?
What's that?
How much electricity is too much? How do you OD on electricity? Like, would Edison know that? What's the answer?
Well, when your brain melts and comes out of your nose.
Right, but what's the amount of electricity that it takes to have that happen, though? Because electricity is kind of like alcohol. Some of it's fine. You know, if you get a little bit fine.
People can handle a little more than others.
Right.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. So he's building up a tower for these kids.
Dang Lizard, thanks for the €5. Vinny, are you ready to rejoin the Church of the Holy Stutterer? Repent, rejoice, and reject all naps and hamburger. Fear the dispenser of karmic justice.
Yeah, Dang Lizard's working on a new religion. And I don't know. I might sign up, too. I hope he'll have me.
You made it sound pretty good, Dang Lizard.
He does.
Thank you for the €5.
What about Yankees suck on there? We missed that super chat.
I am so sorry.
Yankees suck $5 Canadian says, you guys need to cover Shakira body cam footage on Lens of Law first 2 results. Oh, that I will write down.
Shakira body cam footage.
Yeah, this is intriguing to me.
Now, is the body cam located in the shower? Or?
Yeah, well, let's find out here.
Oh, I've seen this one. We watched this one in Detroit, dude.
We did.
Yeah.
Pull it up.
They're calling Shakira the lady, you know, who called the cops. And then the boyfriend comes out of the apartment, like the Notre Dame logo, and the cops shoot him. Yeah, that's not Shakira.
That's not Shakira. We played that one and the follow-up one of her.
Yeah, she's a real problem.
She's a real problem, for sure. But thank you for the suggestion, Yankees suck. And I agree, the Yankees do suck.
Shall we go down to Mississippi, Carl?
Yeah, let's do it.
A police officer pleaded guilty Thursday to forcing a detainee to lick urine off the floor of his jail cell.
That's fun.
It's, you know, we all say we're for law and order, but then here we are.
Well, it's annoying to me that they keep disciplining the police officers for all the things you want to do. Like, how are they going to recruit new police officers if you can't even make an inmate lick his own urine off the floor? Like, what, like, okay, let's just take away all the perks then. Fine.
Yeah. I'm supposed to clean it?
Right. Yeah, good point.
I thought I was here to police.
I'm policing, not janitorying over here.
All right. Michael Christian Green, he's 26 years old. He resigned from the Pearl Police Department in December, 4 days after a security camera caught him forcing the man to commit what officials call a disturbing act.
Did they ask if they were out of paper towels? Maybe they're out of paper towels.
I didn't ask. I don't know. But
right.
I like how they're trying to make this guy sound so terrible. Green, who has a large cross tattooed on one arm and the word blessed tattooed on the other, stood calmly before the federal judge and pleaded guilty to the charge of deprivation of civil rights.
Yeah, that's a good point. Since when do you point out tattoos on someone? Yeah. What's that? What does that have to do with anything?
I'll tell you what. He is blessed. He didn't have to lick up piss.
Right. He's the one telling other people to lick up piss.
So
they
yelled at him. They said, you shouldn't do this. They made him apologize. And the detainee only identified as B, knocked on a door and tried to tell Green that he needed to use the restroom, but ultimately urinated in the corner of the cell after his request was ignored for some time. That's when Green was caught on video footage threatening to beat B with the phone. You're fixing to go in there, and you're going to lick that piss up, Green said, according to the document. Do you understand me?
I have to say, Vinny, for me, the worst part is licking the floor of the cell. It's not even my own urine that's the problem here.
It's just urine. Ugh.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
The floor of the cell, is that's repulsive.
Worst part, Green stood in the doorway and used his cell phone to record as the man and relented to the officer's orders. When B.E. gagged multiple times, Green told him, don't spit it out.
Yeah, he vomited.
Yeah, of course he did.
Oh, I think I would too.
I would chop out my own tongue after this.
Don't worry, Christian says this. This is Jim Norton's dream. You might be right about that. 3D says, you're in trouble. Oh!
Little Jimmy Norton's going to go down to Mississippi and misbehave.
Yep.
And his belly is feeling a little off today.
Drink a lot of water.
Green remains free on bond until his May 24th sentencing. He faces up to 1 year in prison and a $10,000 fine.
So he's out the force?
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about creeps in the NFL, Carl. Okay. Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
A former Tennessee Titans scout has been indicted on 2 counts of first-degree murder and the death of his girlfriend and her unborn child.
Okay.
Blaze Taylor, 27, was arrested by the U.S. Marshals on a grand jury indictment. Taylor worked as a pro scout for the Titans for 4 years. He's also the son of former University of Tennessee assistant coach Trooper Taylor. The younger Taylor is accused of poisoning Jade Benning on February 25th and the unborn baby, which Taylor allegedly fathered. She was rushed to 911, and Benning appeared to be having an allergic reaction and asked for paramedics. Police said Benning's condition immediately became critical. Her unborn fetus died on February 27th. Benning was not able to be interviewed by detectives before she died on March 6th.
So it took her over a week to die?
Yes, this is awful.
Well,
2 weeks.
I got to say, that's not how poisoning works, is it? I think it's going to be hard to prove.
Well, police said months of investigation led by homicide detective Adam Reese, involving scientists from the crime lab.
Mm-hmm.
Crime lab scientists, Carl.
Yeah, but...
And doctors.
But they got to prove that Taylor is the one who made her eat or drink or whatever this was.
They do.
And so I would think that he'd have a very easy defense. Just be like, she's a dumb broad. She was pregnant and shoving everything in her mouth. She had cravings for pickles and peanut butter.
She said she had cravings for nail polish remover.
Yeah.
What do you want me to tell you?
She needed liquid plumber diet for some reason. I don't know why. That's what she wanted.
Women, am I right? God, women, come on.
You mix it with some bleach, it's fine.
What are we doing?
I'm just saying, I think he's going to get off on this one. This is going to be hard to prove.
He very well can. He very well can.
The only witness is gone. The witness is donezo.
Dude, if you want to, again, the surefire way to cause the abortion, Pop Rocks and Coke.
That's true.
You don't need the Drano. You just need some Pop Rocks and Coke.
Yeah, DeWired Christian says, pregnant women crave paint chips. Correct. This is This is what they're looking for.
They crave red brick scrapings.
This is what they're looking for when they get up at 4 a.m.
Jesus.
It's a hormonal thing. You know, they're not thinking straight. I feel like I'm coming up with this guy's defense for him right now. If he wants to hire me, I'll take the case.
Welcome to Teeth and Tits Detective Agency.
That's right. Teeth and Tits.
We'll save you. All right, everybody. That is this week's Scum Parade. I want to thank Redhead Meg for coming out and joining us today.
Fantastic job, Redhead Meg.
Remember, if you would like to be a results girl, here is your opportunity. You need to have the following things: good internet, a camera, a microphone, and be available 1 o'clock Eastern time on Mondays. And you need to email me by noon this Wednesday, thecreepoffpod@gmail.com. And close a picture of yourself. It can't hurt. And we will be opening, if we have one more contestant or a few more contestants, we'll give you an audition. If not, the voting will start at the middle of next week, and we'll make sure everybody knows about it.
Sounds good.
All right, Carl, it's nice to be important.
It's more important to be nice.
TheCreepoff.com to vote. We'll see you next week.
WATPLive.com will be in Largo, Florida this Friday night, March 22nd. Get your tickets.
Gia.
What an asshole!
What the hell is this supposed to be?
It's the Creep Off.
Jeez Louise.
Do 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 up, do 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 up.
Jesus Christ!
This is very disrespectful.
Hi, Meg. Thanks for everything.
Hi.
Thanks, Meg.
We appreciate
you. Well, thank you for the opportunity.
Hell yeah.
We'll talk to you soon.
We'll definitely talk to you again soon.
Have a great afternoon.
Too, Meg.
Bye.
You as well.